All right, here we are on Off the Hook Overtime, where you can talk to us and we can continue talking to you. We have all kinds of other things we didn't get to on the radio. One thing, though, we did get some remarks from people that were frustrated, who wanted to call us last week, couldn't reach us because we had so many phone calls. And that's a good thing, but let's do this. If you've called before, especially if you've called in the last week or so, let's give somebody else a chance so that we hear new voices. We hear it from other people. And if you're one of those people that has not reached us in the past couple of weeks, give us a call to 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our phone number, and you can speak to us directly, and we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, you know, there were a lot of stories we didn't get to. Boy, that hour just goes by so fast, and actually it's more like 50 minutes. That's just the nature of radio, I guess. Unfortunately, we have this for now. While we're still broadcasting remotely, we can do this extra bit. But here's another story that's kind of similar to what J-Man was going through, except I think more serious. And this comes out of Washington State. Some concerned parents in the Lake Washington School District are calling for action and accountability after the website for the state's second largest school district was hacked last week by someone who blanketed pages on the site with racially charged and offensive messages. And again, I take issue with use of the word hacked here, because not much hacking is involved when the security is poor enough to allow this to happen. The Redmond Police Department is investigating the hack and working with the school district's information technology staff in an effort to find the hacker. Investigators from, why don't I just say, to find the racist idiot who took over their system because it was easy to take over. Not much hacking involved. Investigators from the Redmond Police Department, FBI, and cybersecurity officials said hacks can be prevented, but determining who did them can be challenging because the perpetrators are often good at concealing their tracks. It's basically just not telling people you did it. That's the extent of concealing your tracks. There's always a way. There's always a way to track people down. This incident has left many in the school district unsettled. Parent Renee Ferguson said, "In my lifetime, it is the most hatred, detailed white supremacist stuff I've ever seen." Detailed white supremacist stuff. Wow, I'm curious what that was all about. The hacker, I really wish they'd stop using this word. I'm just reading the story as it is, but it's a real problem. The hacker published several derogatory and disturbing words and phrases on the school site that could be seen by anyone who visited its online pages for an hour last Thursday. Officials said the incident affected the entire site and all of its pages. You know what that is? That's a website being taken over. It's really, really easy if you don't take precautions. Happened all throughout the 1990s. And yeah, we call them hacked web pages because, you know, initially you had to have some kind of skill to be able to figure out a security hole. But eventually it just became really, really simple, running scripts and looking for openings. Not much hacker content, just basically a desire to cause mayhem. Sometimes it can be useful for spreading ideology. And we've seen such web pages being taken over in totalitarian regimes to have a democratic message get out there. So it can be used as activism, but it also can be used for ugliness, because it's not hacking. It's just simply running a program. Anyway, a student, Achilles George, said it was shocking, it was surprising, and offensive. Angel George, I guess related, a recent senior graduate, saw a screenshot of the offensive messages after the images were shared on social media. She visited the site and was able to see the images online herself. Okay, we can, we believe that the images were there and people could see them. So I don't know why they need to talk to so many people to say, "Oh my God, I saw them. They were shocking." "I was like in shock," Angel said. "Who would do this? I was just really concerned it had a bunch of derogatory terms for every race except for white people. So it's kind of scary." Yeah, it is. It is, and not just on websites, in everyday life. And this is why it's important to address these issues. This is why it's important to teach kids early about this ugliness. Instead, we have a situation in this country now where we're being told we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to teach kids about this sort of thing. because they'll have a bad opinion of the country they live in, and nonsense like that. Anyway, Angel's mother, which happens to be Renee Ferguson, okay, so it all this is all one family I've been quoting, said she did not allow her daughter to go out that night after viewing the messages. And, you know, we can ridicule that and say, wow, what an overreaction, but I get it. You know, you see something shocking and disturbing like that, you don't really want your kids to go outside. You don't really know if somebody's lurking right outside or if somebody is on the other side of the planet. You don't know. So I understand that, but it shouldn't be this simple. There needs to be security, and we need to address the ugliness that festers. My heart instantly sank due to being scared, and actually I felt traumatized, Ferguson said. I had to literally look up what some of those names meant, and when I looked them up, I just thought, how are we still doing this? It was very, very scary. I guess they don't really know anything more about it. But Ferguson concludes by saying, we are begging for you to recognize the racism that is going on in your school, said this to the school district, and to make our kids safe in your school district. That is what I'm demanding. And a little security, too. Can't hurt. We have a phone call? We don't have a phone call. I thought we had a phone call. Okay. 802-321-4225. We had a phone call, but I guess all that talk made them hang up. Because phone calls are expensive and people can't stay on hold. I understand. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Lines are open now to those people that have not called us in the past couple of weeks because we want to hear from you people and more of a representation. Any thoughts on the story I just read? Rob, do you have something?
Yeah, I mean, you have to explain these things to these kids because there is ugliness in the world, and, you know, the online world is made by the same people who are out there in the mundane world and is a reflection of us. And just as you might, you know, walk the streets in your neighborhood and come upon bigoted graffiti put somewhere in order to disgust and terrorize, you'll see that on the net, too. And, you know, it behooves us to acknowledge that this exists, you know, address that this exists, and educate the kids on how to be better than this. You know, use it as an example, use it as a teachable moment, because, you know, it does exist out there, very sadly. And, you know, we're not going to be able to sweep it under the rug and just ignore it and hope it goes away. It does not work like that.
You know what else? Teach the kids how to do it. How was this done? Let's not make it some big mysterious thing that some super hacker did. No, show them exactly what they did, how easy it was. And that way they can look for holes themselves and report them before they get taken advantage of by some idiot who does these kinds of things. But you turn it into some skill. You put that person on a pedestal where they have not earned the right to be. And by having your own students participating in keeping your system secure, not demonizing them if they find a security hole, you have a much more secure system in the end and a lot more educated kids and a lot less hate being spread around. Alex?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Emmanuel. And one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, school districts are one of the most underfunded organizations when it comes to cybersecurity, yet they have such a huge threat vector that's targeting them, both for ransomware, for types of, you know, activism attacks like this, you know, racist propaganda that seems to have been propagated through this particular website. And so getting the students involved, I think, is one way to really increase those resources. I completely agree that when you demystify this, it becomes a hell of a lot less malicious because it's so much less magical. It doesn't have this aura of mystery or power surrounding whoever was behind this. You realize, oh, this was simple. This was, you know, improper permission set on a web server. Somebody simply edited a text file, added some racist propaganda to it and whatnot. But on the other hand, too, I think, you know, whoever this idiot was, perhaps it was another student in the school district itself. And I don't think I don't think that the book should be thrown at him proverbially, because maybe, you know, even though I'm sure they're comments were deplorable, I don't know what they were, but maybe this person was trying to get a rise out of others or, you know, was otherwise neglected. Who the hell knows? But I think at root, we should all recognize that this was a trivial way to compromise a pretty pretty easy system to breach, a web server, and we can't forget that.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think if it is some kid somewhere trying to get a rise out of people, okay, you succeeded, you proved yourself to be an idiot, and now we have to try and steer you away from that, but his life or her life should not be ruined. But if, say, it's Donald Trump Jr., I think you should treat them differently than if they're simply some kid in the... So it basically speaks to where they're coming from, what they have access to, what they were trying to achieve. And that's important. And when we say there aren't enough resources, security resources in school districts, hey, you got really good resources with these kids because they're the ones figuring it out. They're the ones that are smart. They're the ones that will help you figure things out that no one else can. They'll play by different rules. And instead of being punished for doing so, you'll actually make them feel completely accomplished. Hey, we have a phone call now. I'm going to get to it quickly before they lose patience. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, Emmanuel. How you doing?
How you doing? Who's this?
I ran into something weird last night in Novosibirsk, Russia. I can't listen to the show on Spotify.
Wait a minute. You're in Russia?
So, Novosibirsk.
Wow. I know that city. Where is that city? It's in the far north, maybe?
It's Siberia.
You're calling us from Siberia. Hang on, this is the lead, the fact that you're calling us from Siberia. This is fascinating. Wow, so you're in Siberia. I don't think we've ever gotten a call from Siberia before.
Oh, well, I'm American, but I'm just here.
It doesn't matter, you know, you could be whatever, but you're in Siberia. That's the cool part.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to act like, you know, a starstruck. What is it you wanted to share with us? Siberia, I can't believe it.
What? Okay, I usually listen to the show on Spotify as well as a few other podcasts, but I can't listen to them now, and it's really strange, and I don't like it.
Because of the way we
powers that be.
Wait, hold! It's not because of us. We're not being annoying. It's because of Spotify.
Yeah, like at first I was like, whoa, they're like trying to not let me listen to Off the Hook. They're not trying to let me listen to, like, Malicious Life, Dark Knight Diaries, like, all this stuff that I usually listen to. And, yeah, I went and investigated a little bit more when I got here. And now I can't listen to any podcasts. It's just no podcasts allowed in Russia.
You just had to keep asking questions. That's what happens when you probe a little too deeply.
I've been poking on Twitter. I poked at you guys a little bit, but I don't know how much that's monitored. But, yeah. It made me mad. It made me really sad, and I want to do something about it.
I don't use Spotify myself. Alex, do you have something to input here?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is all based on your location, your GeoIP coordinates, right? I would assume, caller.
Mm-hmm.
So have you tried popping up through a VPN and accessing Spotify that way?
Well, yeah, I could circumvent it that way, but, like, what really weirds me out and, like, kind of bugs me is, like, why would you, like, try to stop the free flow of information to an entire populace of people?
Well, you're asking that question from Siberia. You realize that?
Yes.
They kind of invented that.
And it didn't, in fact, work prior to this.
But I think what the caller was getting at, which is really interesting and is a great point, is that this probably did not come from Spotify itself. This was a request from the Russian government to restrict this type of access for a large population of Russia. I mean, I would be very curious as to whether you can listen to Off the Hook or Dark Knight Diaries or something like that when you're in Moscow.
Wait, you're saying the government of Vladimir Putin has decided to restrict Off the Hook to the entire country of Russia? I mean, I just want to sit in that for a second and say, wow.
Well, there's a couple of possibilities.
On his radar. That is something.
Well, maybe. Who knows? But it could be that, let's assume that it comes from Moscow. It comes from Putin or maybe a cabinet minister or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it could possibly apply to a broad category of podcasts or information that would relate broadly to hacking or generally to hacking. You know, or it could be a command or a decree from a local municipality somewhere in Siberia, you know, in Irkutsk or something like that, that could have made this type of decree. Or it could be Spotify trying to comply with some other legislative mandate about the spread of hacking-related information, something like that. So it could be Spotify regulating itself, or maybe over-regulating itself, which is often a very big problem when it comes to compliance, with respect to content available in Russia, for one reason or another. But either one of them is, you know, totally crazy and insane that the content is restricted.
Yeah, and it's
Really sucks.
Uh-huh.
It's something that you've noticed recently changing. I know there have been various crackdowns in other parts of the world on different sorts of media writ large. So it may be a lot of different things are affected. You listed several that you normally would be able to access. So it is a bit odd. And does it really help? I mean, and are these programs really doing anything that threaten the state of Russia other than informing people or addressing some of the news in geopolitics generally, which is unfortunate because people...
Well, at first, I thought that it might have been, you know, just those specific podcasts at first, but then I started looking, and it's just podcasts in general, no podcasts allowed whatsoever. And then I started digging a little bit deeper, and apparently, like, Spotify is owned by a Swedish company, I found out. I did a little research, and yeah, Sweden apparently owns, like, some Swedish company apparently owns Spotify. I didn't know that. But, yeah, they're the ones calling the shots. I found a lot of people, a lot of Russian people complaining on Spotify forums that, yeah, like, just they've chosen to not allow podcasts of any type in Russia. It's really strange, and I don't understand why anybody would want to make that kind of decision. Just no information for you guys. The largest landmass with borders on Earth, and you just want to cut them off from information of any sort. It's really strange.
How long have you been... Gila has something. Go ahead, Gila.
I do. I was looking stuff up. So Spotify launched in Russia about a year ago, and they intentionally did not start with podcast capability. I found something Spotify said around the launch that podcasts were a nascent enough technology in Russia that they didn't want to support it yet. It's not, I don't think it's quite as sinister as it sounds necessarily, but I think they're trying to, it's probably a business decision. They're trying to pull the money where they can. Music is a big thing.
Okay.
Russian language podcasts may not. It's probably like a wagging the tail dog thing. There aren't podcasts. They didn't support podcasts because they're not supporting podcasts. There aren't podcasts. Apparently, there are definitely petitions where people want to listen to the Joe Rogan podcast in Russia. So they're really trying to make that happen.
Really? That's what they're going for?
Well,
I just reads it. I don't makes it.
If they take over, like the podcasts that have huge, huge followings around the world, and maybe Off the Hook is in that category for our listeners,
yeah,
of course.
Maybe.
Big influence, big following, all kinds of acclaim. Well, that could thwart, as Gia pointed out, local, homegrown, mm-hmm. nascent Russian language podcasts or talk shows in like a long format talk show.
Siberian podcasting is what we I'm interested in it. Carl, let me ask you, how long have you been up there?
Oh, just been here a few days.
Are you taking the Trans-Siberian Railway by any chance?
Oh, not yet.
Okay, because it goes through there, doesn't it?
On the list.
Yeah, doesn't it go through Novosibirsk?
Oh, I'm not sure. Pretty
okay.
Fresh.
Wow. So tell us your impressions of the place.
Oh, beautiful. Love the place, love the people, love the culture. Like, it's a lot of fun. Like, it's pretty cool. Not many people, well, not a lot of the older population speaks English, but a lot of the younger kids, they, you know, they can get around with it. So
uh-huh.
It's navigable.
Yeah, and you're there in the summertime, so it must be rather pleasant right now.
Kind of rainy.
Okay, but in the winter, I think it would get a lot more chilly.
Probably so, but I haven't had a taste of that.
Right. Wow. Anything else you want to share with us? What life in Siberia is like?
Nope. Just wanted to raise a little stink about not being able to listen to Off the Hook.
There must be another way you can listen to Off the Hook, though. There's got to be another way.
Yeah, there's a, you know, the will, there's a way.
Yeah, I mean, just our website or WBAI.org or even YouTube for this.
Yeah, I just wanted to yell at Spotify on the airwaves.
Well, we're glad you're out there.
Yes, definitely. And Rob, I think you had something.
Yeah, I'm going to be that guy and ask you, caller, how's the weather?
He just said it was raining.
Oh, rain.
Excellent.
Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, one more question for our caller before he hangs up. Halfway
it's like a press conference. When you call from Siberia, we're going to hit you with a lot of questions.
Right. Yeah, but caller, Gavri Poruski, da?
He said he's American. He doesn't necessarily speak Russian. Do you speak Russian?
Gavri Poruski? Chut-chut? What yet?
Да, да. Чуть-чуть, чуть-чуть, да.
Чуть-чуть. Я говорю по-русски, чуть-чуть, я.
Okay.
Мои друзья русские, да.
Wow.
Очень хорошо. Большое спасибо. Пока.
Очень хорошо, да. Да, да. До свидания.
Oh, I know what that means. Okay. Well, good talking to you. And, Alex, I'm going to figure out what you said. Sorry, that's what happens when I don't hang up. Wow. So this is why we open it up to people who haven't called before, because we get calls from Siberia. Thank you. Thank you for that call. Very interesting. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If you have not called us in the past couple of weeks, then please call and share some interesting stories or questions or whatever. I see we have another phone call coming in. Is it on? Ready to go? Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hey, it's Bobcat.
Hey, Bobcat. How you doing?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You might want to speak up a little bit. Yeah, you're coming in a little lower than the Siberian call.
Okay. A couple of things. First, did you know that WWVH, the time station, time station, still has Jane Barbie announcing the time?
Wow. Well, why not? You know, it works.
I'm sorry. That's the one in Hawaii, and you can get to it by calling 808. 335-4363 if you want some nostalgia.
What's that number again? 808 what?
808-335 4363.
Okay.
Or of course over the air still.
What frequency over the air? It's like
it's 5, 10, and 20 megahertz, I think. I don't know.
Right, on shortwave.
It's in Wikipedia, you can look it up.
Right. Okay.
And so, in memory of Rebel, I don't know if you're alive or dead, but free phone calls. If you want to make free phone calls, you can get a free phone from the government lifeline plan. You're familiar with this, aren't you?
I believe so, yes.
Commonly known as Obama phones, even though this goes back to Reagan. It's paid for by the Universal Service Fund on everybody's bill. And you used to get a free smartphone and like 1,000 minutes and 4 gigabytes of data every month. If you were on food stamps or Medicaid, on an Indian reservation, various things like that, 130% of the poverty level. But now there's a thing called the Emergency Broadband Benefit, where if you had a significant loss of income last year due to COVID, you could get onto this program and now get unlimited data, 4G data, and a free cell phone if you make less than $99,000 a year.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good deal, so a good way to get a free cell phone.
And free data and free tethering and free hotspot. 10 gigabytes of free hotspot. I mean, that's just amazing.
And how do people do this again?
You just Google Lifeline, and you'll find a website to find out what's available in your state and locality. There's either cell phones or landline phones or like cable modems and various things. But for at least the foreseeable future, it's free, unlimited broadband. So It's just stunning that it's cheap enough for these companies to give poor people, or well, $99,000 a year people, a smartphone and still make money with unlimited data. I mean, what does it cost to buy a phone and get unlimited data a month for even the cheapest plan anywhere?
They really have to subsidize it in some way because it's so important for people that are underserved with broadband who can't afford it. And, yeah, it's something that people should take advantage of if they're having trouble or if they find they're taking money away from other expenses just to stay connected to people, which goes right along with our story about prisons and all kinds of places. Whatever your life circumstance, having that connection is so vital to your health, mental health, and your family and community, reaching out and or working, functioning, accessing other services.
It's the same thing we were saying about prison phones before.
That you're
people,
owed.
People need this. To
sure.
Stay sane.
I mean, it is subsidized because it's so important for everyday life, but also people are owed, you know, they ought to be taken care of and looked out for. And these are
even those poor guys making $99,000 a year.
They're relatively.
It doesn't go as far as it used to.
They're relatively low cost ways to really empower people with information and yeah, of course, yeah, you could build a business, I guess, around this. And I think the government would be quite happy if you did. You know, with all of that hardware and data, you know, did something productive and maybe hired some people and you know, that they're all for that.
They hire people in the Philippines that could be call centers and they get cheap phones from China with malware in them.
Well, that adds to the fun, I guess.
Just be alert if you get a free phone.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how we find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. That's I've done that before, and I always you know check for what kind of SIM is in there, and you know remove it before I do anything else.
Didn't you just get a free phone?
Yeah.
What kind of phone did you get?
It's not branded.
It's not branded, and you got it from a big phone company too.
I did.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say
about information, but basically, instead of why did they offer you a free phone?
Well, it's funny, they didn't realize what phone generation I'm on. They think I'm on an older phone, I guess. Uh-huh. And they're like, hey, you know, 3G is ending because next year, I think February 2022, the 3G third generation GSM network will be, I believe, shut down and replaced, or basically everything below 4G and LTE, which most people are on now, that will be the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So 3G won't work. And in thinking that, they're offering this handset, which I took advantage of, but mostly because maybe it'll help do the radio show or something. I don't know. I could probably put it to use.
Never turn down free hardware.
I wanted to see what they give me. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I got it and removed that component, and it had a prepaid SIM in it, which is weird considering they know me, you know. So I'm curious what their expectation is as far as, and I really don't want them to shut down my other line or anything.
Did it ring as soon as you opened the package and somebody on the other end said, okay, here's your instructions?
I checked for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no mention of like manila envelopes or briefcases or any kind of things like that.
Well, keep it on. I'm sure it'll ring at some point.
Yeah, probably. But really, it's out there. This stuff is ubiquitous. There's so many of these kinds of devices,
mm-hmm.
and they're crucial to accessing so much now. I think that we've all realized.
Anything else, Bobcat?
Yeah. I heard my name mentioned last week, and neutrality.
Yeah, Alex.
Before that.
Yeah, Alex did that. He mixed you up with Bobson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I misspoke.
One thing I forgot to say, yeah. Rebel is still around. He actually called a couple weeks ago.
He did. You're right.
Oh, okay. I listen rarely, but I heard my name last week, so I have to call in. But I also heard net neutrality. Somebody's still worried about net neutrality for some reason. We never had net neutrality. Our upload speeds were a tenth of our download speed, have been for 30 years, except for now we have fiber to the house. I'm looking out the window at the wire.
Well, speak for yourself. You might have it, but a lot of people don't.
Well, you know,
it's coming.
You've got to ask, and you've got to go to the gonextspeed.com website and see where they're filling out the fiber.
Wait, what site is this? GoNetSpeed?
GoNetSpeed.
GoNetSpeed.
And the fiber here for $90 a month, free installation, and that's a permanent price, gigabit up and down for any non-commercial use. So I could run a Plex server and have 40 of my friends and relatives watching 25 megabit 4K TV played off my server here.
Well, that's cool.
That, I think, is exactly what, more broadband and faster speeds out to the neighborhoods and to the curbs and to the ghetto, fiber to the ghetto, fiber to the sticks, all that needs to happen so that people can build communities around it, and it accelerates a lot of that development and is a resource, tremendous resource.
Uh-huh. Can I ask?
I'm just amazed that this whole last year everybody's talking about people didn't have Wi-Fi access and they had to go sit outside of Dunkin' Donuts with their laptops. Just make a guest SSID on your router that says password is password, and let everybody just use it.
Okay, we could try that.
You walk down the street, there's hundreds and hundreds of hotspots, Wi-Fi names, all your neighbors. Share. Go ahead and share. It's not hurting anybody.
It's a great concept.
You can have different channels from your own account.
Well, there's so much more of it, and especially traveling. It's really, really helpful when airports and stuff, places offer that kind of thing. But it is really the fun of making use of all of that resource when it is improved, and finding different ways to share it and host your neighborhood, help get other people connected, help them get information, helping access in general. I think that is the sort of altruism we all like to think of in this, even though there's a lot of business and strategy and other things at play. But when people have more speed to play with personally,
altruism.
Yeah. And they have more.
I mean, in New York City, nobody is far away from a Wi-Fi router.
True.
The houses are close together. If you're in apartment buildings, you're going to see 90 of them. Just share a little.
No, that's a great idea. I wish people did that more. But can I just ask you? You say you have fiber. Are you getting your fiber from the phone company or from the cable company? Because we're noticing it's kind of a competition between the two that's starting up.
The company is GoNetSpeed. They ran this fiber a month and a half ago.
Wait, that's the company you got it from? But
I don't even have it yet.
Okay.
I don't need it. I don't need a gigabit up and down for anything.
Well, you don't know that you do, but you probably do at some point. Okay, we'll look into this.
Actually,
because we've noticed that the local cable company is putting up these mystery boxes everywhere, and not putting their name on it, but running fiber, and not offering it yet. So it's kind of mysterious.
Oh, the incumbent phone company here, which used to be Snap, used to be AT&T. They run fiber to the boxes, and then the remainder of the copper is still there. So the DSL terminates right down the line, right down the street from me, instead of doing home runs a mile away.
Wow. Okay, sounds fascinating.
Yeah, and it's...
Okay, if anybody wants to buy me $90 a month fiber, because I don't pay for Internet access because I have a account from one of my clients, and so I get all the... I can use 15 devices from my business account over the Cablevision system,
uh-huh.
Because they have every homeowner here with Cablevision is broadcasting an optimum Wi-Fi signal also, which I just connect to.
Wow. Okay,
so,
well, that's something.
Yeah, it's true. The
28 megabit down, 13 up, fine for free.
Yeah, those systems are putting it closer and closer, like you said, right around the corner. So there's no need, really. You don't want for very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Good hearing from you.
All right. We'll see you.
Take care. Wow. Okay, so before somebody else calls in, Kyle, can you dial a number for me on my phone? So pick it up before it rings, because people are calling right now. Got it picked up?
Yeah.
Okay, dial this number, what Bobcat just told us about WWVH. 1-808-335-4363.
1 what?
Oh, my God. 808-335-4363. Okay.
So spontaneous.
Well, put it in a mode where I can put it on the air. God's sake. Wow. Okay, remedial telephone training. I'm sorry, what's that, Rob?
That was Alex.
Alex.
It's on the air already.
We mean it's on the air already.
Yeah, because it was the tones we were looking for, right?
I don't know what he's talking
808,
about.
808, what was the last part of it?
335-4363. And you give me a signal when it's safe for me to hit the button. All right, that's better. Jane Barbie, everybody. Obviously, this isn't her, but she's coming.
At the tone, 0 hours, 37 minutes, Coordinated Universal Time.
Okay, well,
wow.
That was worth it, I think. Thank you very much for that, Kyle. The voice of Jane Barbie, who you might remember from phone company recordings, lives on forever.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I never used that phone number a long time ago, but as
why
said,
would you call Hawaii to find out what time it is?
Well, I don't know. There's worse things, I guess, you can do with your time.
Does the old phone number for the time still work? 976, what was it, 1212 or 1616, one of those.
I don't know.
Who calls the time anymore? Does anybody do that?
Was it 956 or was it...
It used to be 936. Then it was 976 when they standardized it. And I remember there was the weather, there was time, there was OTB report, there was Santa Claus in December, there was sports phone, and mm-hmm. then you had all the porn ones over on, I think, 540 or 970 or something like that. But those were the ones I remember as a kid, the dial service numbers. Good times.
Yeah, they're all pretty cool. But, I mean, it was absolutely accurate, too. As the tone rang, my clock ticked over to 8:37. It was 37 UTC at that time.
Well, why would you think it wouldn't be accurate? Of course it's accurate. WWVH. And, you know, WWV is in Colorado.
I'm actually more surprised that the Mac I'm on right now was synced up perfectly mm-hmm. to UTC and Jane Barbie over in Hawaii. It's pretty cool.
The Mac is taking care of these things. We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, Bobson. How are you? Technically, you called us more recently, but it's okay because you're in Bulgaria, and we like to hear from you.
Well, I'm not the furthest away in the future phone call with the fellow from Novosibirsk. So yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Siberia?
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. I've been there. I went to the Trans-Siberian Rail, and I was in Irkutsk, I know that, and various other cities, and Mongolia eventually.
I had you've mentioned a program that certain companies starting with their network devices to set up a network for their own use. What used to be a very large seller of books quarter century ago, so they got into electronic devices, and in recent weeks you mentioned they're setting up something on a 900 megahertz.
Yeah, that was the Amazon home robot.
Yeah. Well, the problem with that frequency is it was reserved for the first generation GSM phones.
That's right.
Which are probably, so they may not be able to set these networks in Europe nowadays, as long as the first generation GSM is still operational, if it is.
Are people still using first generation GSM in Europe?
Well, I'm not sure, but I would not be surprised if it was.
Well, these Amazon robots, which, by the way, sounds like a terrible idea, they'll let us know, I'm sure, if they're being interfered with by something else.
Well, yeah, so I know some of you are following the euro at present.
Yeah, please don't tell us anything about today's games because
okay.
we haven't finished.
Fun.
Yeah, it does. We don't want to know if they're good or bad or anything like that. So if you're going to talk about Euro, talk about yesterday, but not today.
So I thought you were watching them live. Or
no, it's impossible to watch them live. It's at 8:30 in the morning. And plus, there's four games in a day. How are we going to do that? You know, we have a radio show to prepare for.
There's four games in two time slots only. So.
Exactly, yes. I know that. But I try to watch the two that are on at the same time without having one ruin the other because the commentators can't keep their mouth shut about what's going on in the other game. But it's been frustrating, to say the least. But after today, it gets a little
bit easier. Well, the German...
Oh, don't say it. I know. Germany's playing, but don't say anything about the game.
The German TV networks are showing the two scores of the simultaneous game showing just one game.
Uh-huh.
And they have a small piece of... a small rectangle with the score on the other game.
That you can cover up. That you can cover
right,
up, and they're not saying it. That's smart. I wish they would do that here.
Well, yeah. I remember watching the 94 World Cup in the U.S., and they were still trying to figure it out, and I'm guessing there is progress in the meantime.
Uh-huh. You know, it's actually a good thing. Euro 2020 is happening now. It's 2021, obviously. It got postponed a year, and they kept the name. But the next World Cup is in Qatar, and that was supposed to be in 2022, but it's way too hot in the Mideast at that time of year, so they're having it, I think, in November. So it's actually being pushed back a little bit, but the COVID-19 crisis has delayed everything. So it actually is a good thing that it's being pushed, you know, back a little bit.
To their winter?
To their winter, yeah, which isn't much of a winter, but that adds another 5 months or so. So kind of works out.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the qualification game starting in September around here, or August. No, September, early September.
Yeah. Yeah, those are fun.
They already started in March, but I missed them. So, yeah, there's some coming up in September.
And some of the World Cup qualifying games, nobody attends. You know, it's very very sparse attendance because people don't think it really matters that much, but it does. It adds up. It's a bunch of games you have to play to qualify.
Well, I intend to do my best. And also, there is the Women's World Cup for 2023.
That's right.
And there's going to be qualifying games for it next year also.
And that's a sport where the U.S. kicks ass, where we really are the champions.
Yeah,
right,
I remember that. I watched that championship.
Yeah. Anything else, Bobson?
Well, no, it's good hearing from you. And
likewise.
Keep up the radios.
Well, thank you for your support and for calling in, and we hope to see you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
And enjoy the Wednesday games.
I will try. I will try. Okay, but we're not going to talk about it anymore. Have a good night. Oops, he hung up. You see, the fact that he said enjoy the Wednesday games tells me that the Wednesday games happened, so that kind of ruins it for me, because who knows, a meteor could have struck, and I want to be surprised. I don't want it to... It's a spoiler. The games got played. Wow. It's really hard. It's really hard. Okay, what's this? This is something we really should have talked about on the other show, but there's only so much time. But apparently American authorities have seized a bunch of Iran state-linked news websites. they accuse them of spreading disinformation. That's according to a U.S. Justice Department statement yesterday. It's a far-reaching crackdown on Iranian media amid heightened tension between the two countries. The Justice Department said 33 of the seized websites were used by the Iranian Islamic Radio and Television Union, which was singled out by the U.S. government last October for what officials described as efforts to spread disinformation and sow discord among American voters ahead of the presidential election. The U.S. says three other seized websites were operated by the Iraqi Shiite paramilitary group, Katib Hezbollah, which more than a decade ago was designated a foreign terrorist organization. The group is separate from the Lebanese militant Hezbollah group, whose news websites remained operational. So Hezbollah is okay. Hezbollah is over the line, apparently. The website domains are owned by U.S. companies, but despite the sanctions, neither the IRTVU nor KH obtained the required licenses from the U.S. government before using the domain names. That's according to the Justice Department. This announcement came hours after the Iranian state-run news agency, IRNA, I-R-N-A, revealed the U.S. government seizures without providing further information. Very interesting stuff here. These are Iranian-run sites, and I imagine they're operated in Iran, and the Justice Department says that because they're spreading disinformation, which is something that I believe has always been an accusation for foreign news media, they're able to simply shut them down and seize them. What do you think about this, Alex?
This is a pretty fascinating story, and I've been tracking it pretty closely. What's also interesting is that this was very widely reported yesterday, and I can't figure out exactly why, because this has happened relatively recently as well. Back on the 7th of October, the FBI and the Department of Justice actually seized 92 domains that related to propaganda or disinformation, of which actually four pretended to be generic news outlets that were supposedly run by the Iranian National Guard, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Quds Force, the IRGC, the same organization at issue in the seizures that happened yesterday. But, this one, it's a little bit different because these are, and perhaps this is why it was so much more widely reported, is because these are very well-known press outlets, Iran, that have been seized and terminated. And I think there's, a lot to be said for that. It gives me, a great amount of pause to have something like this done by one government to another government's news outlets.
Yes.
That's kind of scary. Yet, on the other hand, one of the things that we know is to be a fiction is that domain names don't belong to anybody. I mean, they're owned and operated, according to the Department of Justice and the complaints and the federal judiciary here, by U.S. companies when they exist in the .com TLD, and that's because VeriSign is the back-end registry operator. They're the party that is responsible for keeping track of what is in the .com zone file. All of the domains that are in .com, you don't necessarily own it. They're really owned by this U.S. company, and you are just leasing it for the period of the registration.
Now, what if your top-level domain is a two-letter country top-level domain?
That's totally different. That's completely different. And this goes back a long ways ago to how ICANN was formed and the jurisdiction that ICANN has over certain domains, generic top-level domains, because ICANN does not have really any powers over the country code top-level domains, the ccTLDs. So PressTV.com was one of the domains that was seized and turned off yesterday that just resurfaced not too long thereafter on PressTV.ir for, the Iranian ccTLD. One of the things that's interesting, too, is I figured out a couple of these domains that were seized by the government. One was PressTV.com. Another outlet was Al Masira, and it was AlMasira.net. Another one was Al Alam TV, and that's alalamtv.net. And then there is also another domain, Al Maloma. Al Maloma, that's AMALOMAH, and that was .com.
So, Alex, you mentioned PressTV.com, yeah. But you also mentioned a different PressTV domain before that, that I think is in Iran.
Was that's it? Right.
.ir. So that one wasn't touched, but .com was.
Well, PressTV.com was seized. So that was subject to the order because it exists in the .com top-level domain. So what was not seized was PressTV.ir, and all they did was pick up operations on PressTV.ir. So this would be somewhat disruptive to their operations and maybe decrease their viewership. It would be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, the TTL times, the time to live, is really what is going to dictate when all of that traffic is going to begin redirecting over to PressTV.ir anyhow. One of the other things that was interesting to see in all of the domains that were seized that I had taken a look at so far, they all point to a name server that belongs to AWS. So I guess the federal government has some contract with AWS.
That's Amazon.
To host all their seized websites, mm-hmm, for the foreseeable future, which is somewhat interesting.
So now the federal government can just step in and say this .com site is spreading disinformation, so therefore we're going to seize it, we're going to shut it down. Tell me why this doesn't apply to FoxNews.com.
Well, I guess it could.
I'm curious. I mean, why not? If you're going to do this to one entity, is it just because they're foreign, or are you going to apply that? It seems very heavy-handed to me. But I'd like to know, where does it stop?
But it has to do with the fact that they're foreign and the fact that they don't necessarily have a license to be doing what they're doing.
What do you mean a license? What kind of license do you need to run a website?
Look, if you think back to the Press TV one, I believe related to the Islamic Radio and Television Union, the IRTVU entity. Back, if you go back to October of 2020, OFAC, the Office of Foreign Assets Controls, designated IRTVU as an SDN.
I have no idea what you just said.
I can tell you a few more, too. So an SDN, so OFAC, the Office of Foreign Asset Controls, designated the Islamic Radio and Television Union as an SDN, or a specially designated national. And that's because, or it gave it this SDN status, because OFAC believed that IRTVU was in fact controlled by the IRGC.
Well, of course, everybody knows that.
Yeah, I know. So essentially what I'm saying is it was designated as put under this status because the federal government believed that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Quds Force had controlled the actual television station. So it was put on this list, essentially a sanctions list. And if you don't have and they're not allowed to do business in the United States without some kind of special license or dispensation. And that's why you had this effort being performed not by FBI directly, but by actually the Department of Commerce, Bureau of Industry and Security. They're the ones that deal with export controls and treaty compliance. And so, you know, this was a rare instance where it was a joint DOJ, and I'm sure FBI had a hand in it too, but also Department of Commerce effort. But look, to your point, mm-hmm, I think your point was about the merits of whether or not a government should
Yeah, it's one thing to get kicked off of Twitter because you're getting kicked off by a company that decides to run its network a certain way. This is the federal government deeming that you're spreading disinformation. I just see a very dangerous precedent if we say, oh, yeah, it's okay if you're Iranian and maybe some other nationality that we don't like at the moment. But it could easily be used domestically as well under the same exact criteria.
Well, it couldn't be used domestically because you wouldn't have somebody domestically listed as, you know, a foreign terrorist organization. Or
you sure about that? I mean, what if you had friends? What if you had relationships?
Well, look, okay, I guess, yeah, you know, hypothetically, you know, there could be some people within the jurisdiction of the United States that could be designated in that way. But to the point of the actual removal of the content, I think this is all a judgment call based on content. One person's misinformation is another person's well of truth, right, in some respects. But it's not to say that this is without any process whatsoever. I mean, it is a known fact that VeriSign runs the back-end registry for .com. All of the .com infrastructure is located in the United States for VeriSign, you know, for all intents and purposes. I'm sure there's some overseas, but the primary bits of it are in the United States. But there's also a process here. You can't just turn this off. It's just not up to Department of Commerce or Department of Justice to do this. They have to make an application to a judge. And a judge has to issue a seizure warrant that has to be on the basis of probable cause. So there is some process in place to prevent this from being abused. The judiciary would be the gatekeeper to make sure that the government didn't do this in a manner that got out of hand. But on the other hand, yet, you know, a third or fourth hand by this time, that process is all what's known in legal terms as ex parte, meaning there's only one side that's going to be heard by the judge, and that side is the government. And ex parte hearings where only one person is present don't necessarily comport with our traditional notions of due process in this country. So what bothers me is that we have here is an ex parte process where Iran and these press organizations didn't have an opportunity to be heard. There is some process here for sure, but I don't necessarily know if it's enough to safeguard those speech interests. And I think that, you know, an argument could be made that because if you think about Press TV in particular, they're broadcasting in the English language and probably had a great deal of listeners here in the United States as well.
But why can't those listeners just go to the .ir address instead and get the exact same content?
Yeah, they can. They can do that. Absolutely.
It doesn't seem that much of a disadvantage unless you don't know about it. And I think, you know, it may be the time for .com and .net and, you know, all these U.S.-centric top-level domains. Maybe that time has passed and everything should be defined by country. It should be .us, you know, for everything that happens. I mean, why do we get .mil and other countries' militaries don't get .mil? They have to put it under a ccTLD. It just seems we should even the playing field a little bit and have, you know, have everybody represented based on where they are.
Well, I agree with that to a large extent, but it's just that, you know, it ignores history to a certain degree in that, you know, the reason why we have all of this is because ICANN, which, you know, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, which regulates the security and stability of the Internet, they're actually a not-for-profit corporation organized under the laws of the state of California.
Okay, but that doesn't mean California owns everything forever. It doesn't seem fair.
But the history of how they originated and how they arrived at the authority that they have. Because, you know, I think they took this over from USC and then they University of Southern California, and then they operated under this amorphous legal document known as an affirmation
of
commitment.
What's the first, ICANN, I-C-A-N, right?
Yeah.
What does the I stand for?
Internet.
Oh, I thought it was international. I would have Oh, damn it.
Yeah, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
But it's an international organization. They have meetings all over the world. I know that.
There has been a great push since the new GTLD program first came out the doors in 2011 to 2012 for ICANN to have a much more internationalized presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they now have these IDN GTLDs, or the internationalized domain names, where you can have these foreign characters in the top-level domains themselves. So they've got offices now, I think, in Istanbul and a couple other places around the world that they're trying very hard to make them seem not like a puppet of the United States, because that's what people had thought about ICANN for a very, very long period of time. But, you know, this type of action here where we're taking domains in .com because we have the infrastructure, we have the authority over the companies that regulate that space, this is going to be having some ripple effects in the DNS, because any entity that could think or possibly could be affected by these types of U.S. government efforts, any foreign press would behoove themselves to tonight snatch up their ccTLD, their country code top-level domain names for whatever countries they operate in, and be ready to fail over to those on a moment's notice. You know, I think it's important. There's a lot of press implications here, and that's what bothers me about those actions, not necessarily the legal authority on which they're based or the facts on which they're based either.
Okay. Well, we should probably wrap things up. Did we have a call? We have no calls. Okay, good, because we're out of time.
Oh, wait, yeah, we do.
We do? We have a call.
Yeah.
How long have they been waiting for?
A long time.
Okay, well, sorry, caller. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Oh, no, wait, I know this voice.
I called from Bobson from last week, so I thought it would be okay.
You thought it would be okay to skirt the rules. Yeah, you know, nobody pays attention to anything I request anymore. Okay, you got 1 minute, but we're pretty much out of time. But you called last week, so we're going to have to impose this next week as well, because she's been on hold all this time. That means no one else could have gotten through. You see, you basically blocked the free speech of many other people. Yeah. Maybe in Siberia. Who knows? Fortunately, Siberia got through tonight, but who knows who didn't? But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Okay, last week I said there was no way that Biden was going to make his goal of 70% and
right.
60%, and you scolded me.
I scolded
you.
Said,
no, you can't say that. It's still possible. Now that he's said the same thing, am I allowed to say that without being scolded?
Well, can I not scold Biden for getting his own words wrong?
Yeah, this week he said it.
You know, it's just a number. The important thing is that more people get the damn vaccine, and hopefully we reach that number soon, if not July 4th, maybe July 5th or July 10th or something like that. But the important thing...
people are going to be gathering on July 4th in crowds.
I know.
Maskless.
Well, that's true.
That's the problem. And it's too soon. And New York, the governor has decided it's no longer a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's community transmission, it's not over, and it's too soon.
Yeah, and if you feel strongly about that, I would suggest not being around those events. I share your concern. We need to get more people out there to get the vaccine, and especially young people, and then this thing can turn around. Okay.
And also, anyone, any adult anyway, can ask for someone to come in, as you mentioned before, which is wonderful. So hopefully that will help. But I'm hoping that a lot more employers will make it mandatory.
Yeah, it's totally up to the employers, especially in a hospital like the Houston case. If you run a hospital, of course you want people working at that hospital to be vaccinated because you have patients there that aren't protected. It's just common sense. Hey, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time. Have a good night, a good week, and we are going to sign off. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. Oh, by the way, last week we talked about, what do you got there, Kyle? You got a bottle of some bubbly? Is that what that is? Oh, that's just regular wine. Okay.
It's a twist-off.
Yeah, a twist-off cap really adds to the flair.
Yeah, that's how you know it's expensive.
Uh-huh. Canada Dry, right? That's the new line of wine products. Last week we had an issue with our YouTube recording in that it was cutting off. You know, here's the thing. You'd think that you'd get some kind of an alarm or warning from YouTube. Well, we got a warning the week before saying that we were spreading medical misinformation, which was false, obviously. But no warning saying that, oh yeah, your recording is all choppy and didn't capture everything. No, we figured that out ourselves because I happen to be looking at the screen. In fact, I don't even have it on the screen now. I could be doing it right now and I wouldn't even know. Basically saying that there's no connection at the moment. Well, what we did was we increased our bandwidth. And I hope that fixes the problem. It's kind of funny. It's just a simple button on our provider's website to pay a few bucks more a month to increase your bandwidth. And I clicked that button, and nothing happened. I have no idea what I just did. I'm certain that I started paying them more, but nothing happened as far as change in speed. So I had to contact them on one of those little chat things that they have online. I talked to this really annoying, perky artificial intelligence being who completely got everything I was asking wrong. And when she asked, I say she because she had a female name, when she asked, was I helpful? I said, not at all. And she asked if I could maybe connect you to a human. I said, yeah, that would be great. That would have been nice from the start. And so After a few more minutes, I spoke to somebody else, supposedly who was a human, and explained the situation, and they said you had to basically unplug your modem, and we did that. And then we discovered that even though we unplugged the modem, while the modem was getting a fast speed, nothing else was. We discovered that we were rate limiting ourselves, and I don't know why we were doing this, but we checked our router, and this might be useful to people out there that are upgrading and wondering why it doesn't work. Our router had numbers in it, but for some reason we're saying don't go above this number, and of course we wanted to go above that number. Once we changed that, it worked great. So hopefully this week there are no problems.
Yeah. No, you explained it very well. It was very helpful, actually, to have run into that because we found out that despite the provider and other increases, we were doing some horrible management to our own ability to communicate, which was meaning everything was sort of bottlenecked for the entire year for all of our shows that we've done. So... Ha ha.
Yeah, you learn. You learn something.
Works better now.
So, guys, any final words? Because we're about to sign off.
Happy Pride to everyone celebrating this weekend. There are in-person things happening, at least in this area, and that should be fun.
Yes, celebrate however you choose, you know, and make sure you take care of...
Can you get that any closer to the microphone, Kyle?
One another.
Okay, I'll take that. Thank you very much. Oh, what year is this, by the way?
2009.
2009? No kidding. Wow. This bottle of wine is almost old enough to drink the bottle of wine.
But happy Pride to all.
Well, that's that wine I found on the one train that I gave you, right?
Well, that's good.
No. This was a going out of winemaking sale. It's a long story, but...
You got, like, cheese doodles or something to go with this? This is kind of classy.
Yeah, well, we hadn't really planned that part of...
rummage through the cupboard.
I'll see what I can find.
Folks, thank you very much for listening. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. Send us stories if you want us to cover certain things or just feedback of one sort or another. And don't forget, 2600 meetings are starting up slowly a week from Friday. If you're part of a meeting, you have to contact us either through Twitter ID of 2600 meetings. That's the number 2600 meetings. We have direct messaging open, so you don't have to follow us to be able to send us a DM. You can email meetings@2600.com. You can go to the webpage, 2600.com/meetings. And basically, we are taking, I guess, registrations for meetings to restart or for new meetings to start. Just contact us. Let us know where they are happening. They should be in a public space, and you should be in an area where the total vaccination rate is at least 40%, which most states are. Unfortunately, most countries are not. So there are very few countries right now. I think that I think the UK and the United States, Canada, not yet. Not yet, unfortunately. And other places as well. I'm sorry? What's this?
Oh, sorry.
You talking to somebody else, Alex? Or?
Yeah, I was. Sorry about that. I was checking the radio.
Yeah, of course, because that's what you have to do right now.
There we go.
So anyway, if you have information for us, please contact us using those methods, and we're gonna take tentative steps and try to get things back to some semblance of normalcy.
With your help.
Absolutely. It's the only way we can do things. All right. We'll see you next week. Good night.